Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the 2024 season for the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast. With myself, James Gordon, I'm joined by Mike Parsons. And in this episode, we'll be going through the most recent game for Widnes, a defeat away at Sheffield. There's an interview with Ollie Brooks, and then we'll talk about some of the transfer rumours and players that are being linked to the Vikings for 2025. So, Mike, going back to that Sheffield game, and we had a bit of a chat about it on the show last week, and it was always going to be a tough game for Widnes, and in the end, they went down 30 points to 21. The first time they've lost back-to-back games all season. Well, actually, now, slightly worrying, it means Widnes have only won one of the last five games. So, and maybe a little bit of a wobble, but what was your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was a bit of a frustrating afternoon after starting so well. I mean, you get to half time. What was it? Was it 15-6 at that point? Was it half time?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're thinking, we're in control here. You know, again, like, not for the first time this season. I think I mentioned last week, Kirk and Murray was absolutely, you know, fantastic, was really dominant. Set the stall out. I thought Lewis Brogan was really good as well. He made a couple of handling errors, but I think there was a clear tactic there of Sheffield really tried to push up and get in his face. And he spilled the ball a couple of times, but you could see that Super League quality in him, his footwork. You know, he seemed a step faster when he was taking the ball in, maybe compared to some of the other forwards on the pitch, you know. And yeah, it was all really going well. I think as the game went on, I think we quickly seen Sheffield really ramped it up and went up a gear or two at least with their interchange bench. I thought, you know, Guaze, Connor Bauer and Joel Farrell, I think they really roughed us up down the middle and started to make yards. And in that second half, we was really struggling to get out our own end, and you're kicking the ball and, you know, Ben Jones-Bishop, Matty Dawson-Jones, they're returning it up to the halfway line and you're sinking and sinking further back. And you mix that up with the poor discipline in the second half. I know a lot of people commented about the referee, and to be honest, I'm not one for blaming referees. I think we can only have ourselves to blame. I think it was Marcus Griffiths. I don't think he had the best of games. I think even in that first half, I think just shortly before we got the drop goal right on half time, I think Jordan Johnson, for me, I don't know about you, James, but for me it was a clear knock on slash incorrect play of the ball, and we got a penalty for pushing down. So it went both ways. A really frustrating afternoon, really. And I think you could see it full time. You know, they frustrated us and, you know, we couldn't quite kick back. And for the first time, probably this season, we've not finished the stronger team.
You mentioned Kirk and Murray there. I was embroiled in all sorts of technical strife for the first probably 20 minutes of the match. I probably didn't watch it as closely as I would have liked. But I wondered whether Sheffield had maybe done a bit of homework on Widnes and realised that Kirk and Murray tend to play a decent-sized stint at the start of the match. And I think they took advantage in the second half when Kirk and Murray obviously weren't on the field. And I thought Mitch Clark really took control of the game in the middle, really. And I just wondered whether Sheffield had maybe identified that maybe they soak Widnes up for half an hour, and then while Kirk and Murray are off the field, that's when they strike. That was maybe the impression that I got that they were doing. And then by the time Murray and Kirk came back on, I mean, I think it looked maybe like Kirk had a little bit of a knock because he didn't seem to come on. He didn't play loads of minutes in the second half. By the time they came back on, you felt it was Widnes were already chasing the game. You mentioned about the discipline. The Simbin. Well, there was a debate. Obviously, Sheffield had a sin bin as well. And I know speaking to Alan Coleman afterwards, he was a bit disappointed it wasn't a red card, the Sheffield sin bin, because it was a hip drop from Farrell. I think it was Farrell. Oh, no, it was Alex Foster, sorry. It was a hip drop tackle. He'll probably get banned for that. And Alan Coleman's position rightly was, you know, we don't benefit from him being banned. Somebody else is going to benefit from it. But the witness ones, I thought Roberts was a little hard done to. But the Fleming one was disappointing. Go on.
Yeah, like the Roberts one, I was right near the bench when he come off, and I believe the signal from the actual referee on the field, from what I could see and hear, was actually it was repeat offending.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That'd be quite, you know.
Disappointing. And so it's not, you know, it wasn't his fault necessarily. He was just at the end of a, you know, he was at the end of the call, and you could maybe argue that, you know, for the second week running, and whether it coincides with Kirk and Murray going off, Widnes ended the first half on the back foot, really. And even though they were in the lead at that point, you know, I had no problems with the drop goal. Thought it was a wise decision, and then they got the penalty at the start of the second half, and that was a no brainer as well to kick that goal, because at least it would have forced Sheffield to kick both the conversions. The key incident of the game, and I did have a message on Twitter about this, it was just before the hour mark. Widnes were winning 17-12, and a kick went up to the air. Ollie Brooks, who we'll hear from very shortly, went up for, contested the ball with a fullback. I must admit, I wouldn't be able to call it either way. My view was impaired. I was right in the corner, so maybe the posts were in my way, so I have no idea what actually happened with the ball in the air. But the referee originally gave Widnes the scrum, and then for whatever reason changed his mind, and it was off that set that they then got on the roll forward. Fleming got his sim bin. I think Mitch Clark got a second penalty when he appeared to lose the ball at the play of the ball, but they got another penalty. Then they scored off that, and it was Glover, of course, Fleming's opposite number, who managed to get through a gap. I think partly frustrating for me was that he didn't only just get over, they let him get round to underneath the post, which made the goal easier. That was a key moment of the match, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was, you could see the body language. It was a hammer blow. You know, you could see people, you know, walking back in the you know, under the post. You know, obviously the interrogation of what went wrong. But you're absolutely right. I think, look, he may have still got the goal, but, you know, for me, in my mind, I think Alan will be really disappointed with that, because there wasn't too much pressure on him actually coming round to the post. So, yeah.
But of course, having said that, Widnes did retake the lead, and it was sort of against the run of play. They were down to 12 men. I don't think Gilmore was planning to set up a try with a kick. I think he was just grubbering a kick to touch. And I think Brooks and Roberts played well, and they chased the ball, and it set up nicely for them. They managed to get the try back in front, and you thought, oh, maybe. But other than that, Widnes didn't really look too much of a threat in the second half. Sheffield really just got on top of them, and I think probably the last try, which effectively put the game beyond Widnes's reach, probably summed up Widnes's second half, where they put a kick up, the fullback caught it, managed to evade a couple of tackles, ran 70 metres, and then quick play the ball, and they basically just snuck round the blind side, and no one followed well and over. And I think it was just a bit of a lacklustre second half for Widnes. But at the end of the day, I think Sheffield second in the league for a reason. They're a very good team at home. Widnes's record against Sheffield is shocking, to be honest, since they've been relegated from Super League. You know, and it's one of them. I think you probably, if you're being honest, if you looked at the fixtures, you probably wouldn't put Sheffield away down as one that you'd think you'd get anything out of. Like I said, I think they're just worrying. I mentioned it on at the start there. The worrying thing at the moment is Widnes just won one out of five, and it perhaps highlights just how critical that win at York was, because without that late win there, they would effectively now be 5 games without a win. And I don't think Widnes's form is as bad as that sounds.
No,
ultimately, you know, they were unlucky against Wakefield. They competed against Toulouse. They drew one of them 5 games, which could have won. But I'm sure Alan Coleman's looking at it thinking, right, we've got three what you would call winnable games, with all due respect to the teams that are playing next, Batley, Swinton and Dewsbury. They've probably got to a point now where they've got to win all three of them games, I think, to make sure that they don't they're in a, still in a good place. And I think if Widnes are in a probably in a, they're in control of their own destiny, as I suppose everybody is at this point. But what you want to try and do is you want to get yourself with a bit of a cushion in the six, so you're not dragged down into that scrap. I mean, you, there's what, five teams are separated by 2 points. If you make it 4 points, then pretty much every other team is in there competing for that final playoff space. So Widnes just needs to try and keep that buffer up.
And I think as well, fortunately, I think, you know, like, you know, the Batley in this winter game, like you said, the pivotal, and, you know, not underestimating everybody. They're certainly not one of them sides competing and up there at the minute. And we've just come back off a block of fixtures, really, where the sides who you'd expect, well, certainly at the moment, are in and around us. I know, I think Featherstone have got to lose this weekend, for example. So a couple of them sides have got to, you know, play each other and be taking points off each other. And, you know, we need to do our job, essentially. Everybody calm down. You know, we did get that result at York, which I think we mentioned when we beat them. That could have been the point where we was asking ourselves, is this where we hit the iceberg like we usually do? Fortunately, we got through that fixture. And I think, like you said, James, in the games that we've dropped points and lost, yeah, there's been disappointing moments, but there's been plenty of positives. And that first half, certainly the first half an hour against Sheffield, there was plenty of positives. It was just probably the first time this season where the game probably just got away from us a little bit.
Yeah, but having said that, you know, look, it was the worst defeat of the season and it's only by 9 points, which is perhaps absolutely a testament to, you know, to how things have been going. And I think you've got to... Widnes being competitive in every game is going to stand them in good stead further down the track. They've got a bit of a cushion in the playoff places now. The fact of the matter is all of them teams beneath them are going to be taking points off each other for the rest of the season. So if Widnes can keep that little bit of a cushion ahead, and I think if they can, I almost think if they win the next three games, they'll be in the box seat for a playoff place, because I think none of the teams in that chasing pack will win 3 out of 3. So they've already got quite a cushion on, you know, the 5 points clear of seventh at the moment. So even if teams win 2 out of 3, if Widnes win 3 out of 3, they're probably going to have a 7 point cushion on the playoffs with what, 10 or 11 games to go, which I think's a, you know, a massive advantage to have, especially when you consider the games that Widnes have got left. Anyway, we'll wrap up on the Sheffield game. My BBC colleague John Lawless spoke to Ollie Brooks after the match. Here is what he had to say.
Ollie Brooks, a sterling effort by the lads this afternoon, and we're on top at half time. I just thought Sheffield outmuscled you slightly, maybe in the second half.
Yeah, you're right. We came out we started really well, and then second half we had a good team talk, fought her on it, but we were down a man. So that 6 minutes really killed us. And you know, it's a hot day and it's Sheffield's pitch, and I think they did bring it to us. But we stuck in there, got a try back, and it was close all the way to the end. And that's what we are this season. We fight every last breath and for every blade of grass, and you can see that in the team's performance today.
You had a decent lead at half-time, and then Tom Gilmore kicked a 30-metre penalty to put you a bit further ahead. At that point, you probably thought, we're in business here.
Well, the penalty was the obvious decision. It's like I said, we were a man down, so got to take that and buy the time for the man to come back on. And so we felt quite strong. And like I say, we fight for every blade of grass, whether we're you know, behind or in front, we're always fighting as hard as we can.
So you spent a quarter of the game today down to 12 men. Both your centres got sin-binned. One in the first half, Max Roberts, and then Matty Fleming in the second half. Very similar incidents. Were they a bit harsh, those penalties, those sin binnings, in your view?
The refs said, for Max's, I heard it, and he said we'd done it a few times and he just got the last hit before it was time for someone to go. And I think that's across the board, not just blame on them lads, but all as a team, we need to sort of watch that and be better on that, and that's something we can work on.
Widnes have got real strength in depth in the wingers, I have to say. You haven't played for a little while here today, but you look like you enjoy yourself out there, and you've laid on 2 good tries.
Well, I've been pecking at Al's here all the time. You know, if I'm not having a game here, I want to go somewhere. I've been at Rochdale a bit, and you know, I thought I did quite well there, and Al's spotted that and thought I deserve a chance, and hopefully I've taken it. And got Batley next week, and I can't wait to get back out there, so I'm sure we'll give a good performance there as well.
You were living on crumbs, really, in the second half, weren't you? And I have to say, it came against the run of play, the try that you set up for Max Roberts to go over for his second score of the day. But you got your reward there for not giving up on that. I think Gilly might have been trying to kick it off the field, but as it turned out, it went into your path.
Brooksy, lucky me.
I think he did go for touch, but you know, like I say, I'm fighting for everything, and if he gets to the ball and he keeps it in, I've got to be there to tackle him out, or like I say, I can get the bounce of the ball and I can offload it to Max. But it's a great kick by Gilly, and if you watch it, Max is absolutely shouting for it, so if he's not doing that, he's not getting the ball, and I got a hit off the ball as well, which is a nice one for it.
I've been here a number of times in recent years to this particular ground, and I have to say it's not been much of a happy hunting ground for Widnes. But it goes to show, obviously, you'll be upset because you've lost today, but it just goes to show that wherever they go this season, Widnes, and whoever they're playing, they're in the fight in every game.
It's my first time here, actually, to be honest. I made my debut against Sheffield at home in the middle, surprisingly, but first time I've played here on this pitch, and you know, we're fighting at every single minute of the game to win the points, and that'll be wherever we play. But like we got back the next week at home, and you know that's our fortress, so we'll take it.
Yeah, you've played probably, arguably, two of the best teams, certainly the best team in Wakefield and one of the other best teams in Sheffield in consecutive weeks. You've suffered narrow defeats in both of those games, but I get the impression, just looking at the Widnes lads coming off the field at the end there, that spirit is not dampened. You're back at home next week. You've got what looks on paper like a winnable game against Batley. So all hands to the pump.
Yeah, not at all. We're not downhearted by this. You know, we put on a good show and scored some good tries, like you say, and we're going to our fortress and we're going to make it a strong performance there and get the win.
So looking ahead now to, well, I suppose we look ahead to the rest of the season, but the next game is against Batley on Sunday. It's a 2:30 kickoff to enable everyone to get home in time for the England match. Well, or of course, I think you can watch it in the bar, can't you, somewhere? Other people will know more than I will. A bit of correspondence I have had, which we'll talk about before we go into this rumour mill season that we appear to be reaching, is I've had a message off Bourne Vikings on Twitter, which is worth a follow. I enjoy the videos that they share on that Twitter
page. It's absolutely
asking about the stadium clock, which I think we mentioned a little bit after the Wakefield game, because there was clearly some confusion after the Widnes try. Widnes scored very late on, and you could see Alan Coleman was sort of frantically communicating with people in the stand to figure out how long was left. Now, there is a clock at Widnes on the scoreboard, and it's of great frustration to me that it's not accurate, because, of course, when you're commentating on radio, you want to be able to say how long's gone and how long's been. I've been asked, can I ask the question why it doesn't stop when the referee calls time off? Now, I haven't asked the question, but my understanding is that pretty much in the Championship, the clock isn't connected to the official timekeeper in any way. Now, why that can't be the case, I don't know. In Super League, clearly there's an official timing clock, and when they have the big screen, they can have it on. I would presume, because we've seen at York that it was live, I presume at York they must have had someone sat next to the timekeeper who was operating the scoreboard clock, because it was accurate at York. But Mike, does it make a difference, do you feel?
I'll be honest, like from my point of view, it doesn't harm me from watching the game. Like for you, it's probably more beneficial, like you say, with the commentary. But for me, like when you're in a nervy game and there's 10 minutes to go, I must admit, I do go on my phone and check Twitter and go on the Twitter feed, because I do find that that's more accurate to the actual time. I think if there is somebody listening, I suppose, and the club can do something about it, I think it'd be a thumbs up. You know what I mean?
I guess the question's being asked because it affected the players clearly in terms of they didn't plan the last play. But I suppose there's nothing stopping the players at any point asking the referee how long's left.
I think that's
the message that I would probably put on at that point is, realistically, if Widnes were unsure about the time there, all it would have taken was for one of the players to ask and they would have found out. I think, but having said that, my personal opinion is that for the fans, the clock should be accurate. I think it's good that there is, it's good that there is a clock now. And yeah, it's never going to be completely accurate, I don't think. But I think in this day and age, with the advances in technology and stuff like that, it shouldn't be hard for someone somewhere to be able to sort that out. And it just takes a little bit of desire from somebody, you know, in the right place to make sure that that happens.
Yeah, and I think as well, it'd just add to the professionalism of the event, wouldn't it, I suppose, you know what I mean? It would look a bit better, and like you say, for fans, certainly easier, you know.
Yeah, and hopefully
they can get it sorted. Hopefully it can be something that's ironed out, because like you've said there, I'm hoping it's one of them things that it's quite a quick fix.
Yeah, and, you know, it might not. There might be limitations. I mean, let's be fair, at least Widnes is substantially better than what Sheffield have got. You know, so we shouldn't be too critical or too harsh on that. But I'm always about trying to improve things as best as he can. And for me, if they can sort that out, then that would be great. Right. Yeah. So we're going to have a bit of a section now dedicated to the rumour mill. So Widnes have been linked to a few players in the recent weeks. And generally, I think with maybe one or two exceptions, a lot of Widnes' signings in recent years have been leaked, for want of a better word, long before they were announced. So perhaps the talk here is there's no smoke without fire. So the three players that have been flagged up are Adek Patton, formerly of Warrington, was at Bradford, was at Swinton, but I think has now gone to Featherstone. Lee Gaskell, who came through the system at St. Helens, has played for Bradford, Wakefield. And then Ryan Lannan, who's a forward, who played for Salford. What are your thoughts, Mike?
Interesting. I mean, starting off with Adek Patton, I think in traditional Widnes style, straight away, divided opinions over Adek. He was coming through at Warrington, wasn't he? As the next best thing, and it never quite worked out. Then he went to Salford, am I right? And you know, was there for about a season, and you thought a fantastic move for him, and you know, it's somewhere where he could maybe kick on his career like a lot have there, and it just never quite happened. And then moved to Bradford, and then at Bradford, for me, somebody who maybe needs a bit of confidence and stability in the world of rugby league. You know, he goes there and it's not a halfback's haven, is it, on the odd sole pitch? You've got challenges every week, really. It's not a particular, you know, place where you can expect to see expansive rugby. And then you pair that with all the ins and outs that they seem to have every year with dual registration, loans, permanent signings in and out. It's very hard to establish yourself. And then his move to Swinton seems to have rejuvenated him. Well, I went to watch him against York and obviously seen him play against Widnes. And I think paired with Jordy Gibson, you could see him. He was playing with confidence again. You know, Jordy, for me, when I've seen him, don't know an awful lot about him, but he seems to play that Tom Gilmore role quite well. And Deck was running off the back of that. And he's from what I've seen, he's certainly got a good long-kicking game as well, something maybe that I think you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Danny Craven had that maybe. I think Tom's good kicking the ball near the line, but maybe further out, you know, it'd be good to have another option. So I'm quite happy with Deck. I think it's important that Alan, you know, I think Alan's a gunman manager, and you know, there's been a couple of rumours about him, you know, not having the best of attitudes, and I think that just won't be accepted at Widnes. So if we sign him, I think I'm okay with that. What about you?
Yeah, I think Patton for me. And as we say, we should say that they are just rumours at this point. I think Patton played for Widnes, didn't he, in 2020 under Tim Sheens, and probably didn't endear himself to the Widnes fans with his performances in them two games. Clearly, he had something. He's played plenty of games for Warrington. I think I'm slightly concerned that he's playing every week for Swinton and then has moved mid-season. That concerns me a little bit. Because I think if you're going to, like, for Swinton, that must be frustrating. I don't know the ins and outs of that deal, whether they've got a fee for him or whatnot. I presume maybe Alan Coleman had some influence in his signing for Swinton in the first place. I don't know how late that deal got done. Of course, Alan Coleman was there. You would imagine maybe if that deal might have got done, maybe even before Coleman had gone, Alan had signed up for Widnes. I don't know. I think for me, and I might be wrong, for me, of the two, Patton and Gaskell, I think Gaskell goes with Tom Gilmore a lot better. I think the way he runs the game, the way he runs and the versatility maybe Gaskell's got, I think he probably suits playing with Gilmore better than Patton. There's worries. You've probably got concerns over Gaskell's fitness. He's never really had massively long runs in the teams. I think the benefit of Gaskell signing, and maybe even if they sign both, the benefit of him is he can play other positions. He could play centre, and Widnes struggling at centre really at the moment. So it'd be interesting to see whether one or both of those come. I think, I suppose it raises questions over Joe Lyons. I think Joe Lyons has been much better this season. I have to say, I think Alan Coleman went out and said, look, he's obviously been the backup player in previous seasons. Whether it was through necessity or choice, we don't know. He got the number six shirt this season, and he's played a lot better, I think. He takes the ball to the line a lot more, but I still think he gets caught out a bit too often in possession. And frustratingly, I suppose, for him is whether that's going to cost him a starting place next season. I think Joe Lyons defensively is a stronger option for Widnes at the moment, but it's almost getting to the point, does Lloyd Robey need him running the team at halfback alongside Gilmore to see what he can do? Because I think the best halfback performance we've seen other than Tom Gilmore this season was Robey against Doncaster.
No, I completely agree. I mean, to be honest, touching on Robey a little bit, I've got absolutely no information over this. This is just my sole opinion. But I'm a bit concerned for Robey because he's played fantastically well whenever he's come in the team, whether it was at fullback, whether it was in the halves, or even when he come on for Tom Nisbet in the centres. If anything, he was on in that period where we scored them two tries right at the end. And here we are again, and he's not been selected for Sheffield. Now, for me, I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the links to Patton, and I'm looking at the links to Gaskell. And I may be thinking, is there something potentially on the horizon where we could maybe see an early departure for Lloyd? Because he's a fantastic player. He's played really well whenever he's put his hand up, and he's been put in the team. He's playing really well. And there just doesn't seem to be a place for him at the moment. And I think the age he is and the form he's showed when he's played, I can't see him wanting to play this role for much longer, really. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see whether there could be a move away from the club there.
Yeah, Lloyd Robey he's only played six games this season. Most of them were at the very start of the season. He played three at fullback, and then that game against Doncaster, they were all. He's not actually started a match in the league. The York game and the Wakefield game are the only two league appearances he's made off the bench. So, yeah, I think the problem is Jack Owens is the fullback. I think the only way, do you give him a run at centre? But I think there's question marks perhaps over his defence. Do you play him at fullback and then put Jack Owens in at standoff? Maybe I think that's the thing. But yeah, you'd have to say that if Widnes are being linked with other players, where does it leave Lloyd Robey? And I think it's unfortunate maybe for him. I'd be disappointed if we get to the end of the season and he's not had a go at halfback with Tom Gilmore for a few weeks. I'd be disappointed if we get to that point. And that's no disrespect to Joe Lyons. I think
that's a totally fair comment.
So anyway, we'll see what happens with Depp Patton and Lee Gaskell. The other name that you threw up, Mike, was Ryan Lannan, who...
Yeah.
Go on, tell us what you think about that one.
I'll be honest, Ryan, I think, from the bits I've seen, he's a bit of a no-nonsense player. He's got plenty of aggression in him, and I think he'd really add to our pack. Can play back row and prop. I think, I look at maybe, you know, Danny Langtree, obviously the shoulder went again, didn't it? And the age he is, maybe, is there potential where he has to look at, you know, his future away from rugby, and that's maybe a signing to prepare for him, maybe, you know, hanging up the boots or potentially to add to what we've got. I mean, if Danny can, you know, sustain a number of games towards the end of the season and wants to keep going and keep playing, I'd be more than happy, because as we've seen already, he's plenty of enthusiasm and aggression, certainly when he's fully fit. And he's got ball skill as well. I think if you add players like Rodri Lloyd, Danny Langtree, Ryan Lannan, Sam Wild, and then, you know, the pack like Murray Kirk and so on, etc., etc., I think it'd be a fantastic acquisition, to be honest, in my opinion.
Yeah, Lannan's been playing pretty much off the bench for Halifax this season, but he played more than 100 games for Salford. I think Halifax are in a few troubles, like, shall we say, and Widnes very much benefited from that by picking up Dan Murray earlier in the year. So maybe it'll be another one that Widnes pick up in the off-season with Lannan coming. I certainly think he'll add something to the pack. There's also the fact that, you know, Widnes got Martin Riley, who they signed last season, who's been injured all season. He'll almost be like a new signing as well. He'll add to the pack. So you might find that if Widnes can retain the most of this squad and just add a couple more, there might not be a massive amount of activity beyond them three that we mentioned. I think definitely there's a need for a centre. You know, and whether... I wonder whether maybe we might see maybe Kieran Dixon. Maybe he'll be a sacrifice, perhaps, given that there's three other strong wingers as well. Maybe it'll be Kieran Dixon who moves on, and there's a centre that comes in to fill his place in the squad. I think maybe that might be one on the horizon, maybe. Who knows? I think, you know, witnessing it in a decent position, I'm sure they'll probably be attractive to people at the moment because the form is decent. A lot's going to depend on what happens with the whole Super League shenanigans later this year with the IMG and stuff like that, because there might be players coming on the market that otherwise wouldn't if, you know, like if Toulouse go up, for instance, there's, you know, there'll probably be more English players kicking around.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we'll wait and see what happens with that. And just before we go, a look ahead to this weekend's game against Batley. Batley have already been to the DCBL Stadium this season. Picked up a win in a game, actually, that I thought Widnes were a bit unfortunate to lose. I thought it was one of them. Widnes controlled the game for probably 60 minutes, and probably a bit unlike Widnes this season, to be honest. They just switched off a little bit at the end and Batley pipped it, and of course that denied Widnes the chance of a Super League tie in the next round.
Yeah, I think it was a bizarre old game. You know, it's a good few months back now. So I think, you know, territory, and we was comfortable. We just didn't score anywhere near enough points, and the attack's been a real positive this year, and it's, you know, it's improved as we've gone along. I think it had some familiar patterns of the Swinton loss away in the 1895 Cup, in the sense of that first half, we had plenty of field position, and we just didn't score enough points. And in typical Batley style, they just hung on, and they had that little purple patch, didn't they, towards the end, where the forwards started to get on top and just ended up landing over the line. Yeah, it was funny, and you know, that they're coming to town, and I don't think we're going to get anything off Batley that's going to shock us. You know, they're going to try and complete high and go down the middle. I think the only difference to Batley this year that I've noticed, and it's with the help of their ex-coach at Castleford, is they're playing a lot more dual reds this year. They've got Luke Hooley that's played regular for them. Nixon Putts had a few outings for them. Sammy Kabula. So they're going to have a little bit of stardust in there, but I think we've got to go into it with the attitude of, right, put these five games behind us now. We're not a million miles off. Reset, stay calm, go in with a clear game plan, move that traditional big pack of theirs that they've got, move them about. We've got a big pitch, tire them and find the gaps out wide, I think.
Yeah, Batley haven't, as you say, Batley haven't necessarily been as strong as in previous seasons. You know, they lost the coach, Craig Lingard, to Castleford, but before last week, they lost to Toulouse last week. They had 1-3 on the spin. They beat Sheffield, they beat Bradford, and they beat Swinton. So, certainly no mugs, Batley, and it'll be a tough game for Widnes to kickstart this run of what you'd like to think are three winnable games for the Vikings. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, please join the new Facebook group, Widnes Rugby League fans, if you search for that. We'll try and put the link on the bottom of the podcast as well, or follow Widnes Rugby on Twitter, and we'll start trying to post through that. If you've got any ideas for the podcast, if you want a feature, if you want to ask any questions, then get me on Twitter at JDGSport, or contact through the Widnes Rugby website. But Mike, thanks as always for joining me, and we'll see you next week.
See you later, guys.